This is Jason Q. Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Jason Q. Citizen and Friends program. Goodness me, it's going to be a scorcher of a show today, and it will only be just that because of the lead-in from Mike Ryan in the last hour. Wow, Mike's getting stuck into it as well, and so we all should, and that's our role here, is to bring information that is suppressed out there in the mainstream and allow you, the listener at home, in the car, at work, to be able to be motivated and know that there is an organization out there, just one of us, and there are many, who are going to bring and consistently bring you the latest information, discuss it, and pull it apart, and be comfortable in the fact that we can all speak our truth, the truth, and get to the bottom of what clearly that is going on out there is not normal. It's unprecedented in history, and we are the lucky ones. We're the lucky ones because we know what is going on. We've recognized it well in advance, and we're here to continually draw breath as we fight our way out of this to protect the species, of which we are still the same as everyone else, but we are here to fight for a better world. Interestingly, I sat down yesterday to write something. It was going to just be a couple of lines, and it turned into a short article. And then I saw what happened in Florida with the FBI arriving at Mar-a-Lago to raid the former President Donald Trump's home and get into his safe. Goodness knows what was in his safe, but I'd like to speculate that the soccer ball that he got from Vladimir Putin was in there, along with Barack Obama's birth certificate, possibly Jeffrey Epstein's black book, maybe 33,000 of Hillary's BleachBit emails, and possibly Hunter Biden's laptop as well. We all know that Donald Trump likes to play coy. If anyone could ever be more underestimated in history, it could only be Donald Trump. There's no one that comes close to the man that they continually underestimate. And everything that's been going on has been telegraphed by him or through his support for at least 5 years. So none of this was unexpected, and yet it's still shocking. But I made these points. I said, nothing to see here. It used to be that if someone talked about a conspiracy theory, they were ignored or mocked. But free speech was never, ever in jeopardy. Now, a conspiracy theory discussion is literally to be banished from social media and the poster banned for the safety of those who might be influenced by the misinformation. But how does a conspiracy theory cause actual harm? Isn't it just a theory without proof? Who would act upon it in authority to affect actual change if it remains unproven? And when has the general public responded to a theory that has been given no credence by authorities and media to cause any harm? Unless those in authority are actually threatened by the revelations said conspiracy theory entails. And it is only through the suppression of the concept and the evidence that protects those who deny it. This is where the truth movement gains its power, through the observation of resistance, giving it merit. In the past, when conspiracy theorists could say anything on social media, no one cared. Now authority engages social media giants with unlimited funding to play whack-a-mole with information nonconformists. Given that we know authority only pretends to care about our welfare, given unlimited warnings about injury caused by alleged cures with profiteering going on unchecked regardless, authority is only truly concerned about its own survival first and foremost. Conspiracy theory itself, a term coined by the perpetrators of those hiding evidence to sell an alternative narrative of convenience, over the lone gunman narrative disproved by forensic science way back in the 1960s by New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison when America took out its own king. This was the point that the free world split apart and the fringe movement was born. Today, in percentage terms of truthers versus authority believers, those numbers grow exponentially as people are directly affected by authority, itself blindsided by the rulers within, dictating terms and achieving the well-planned agenda when the fact-checkers insist does not exist. Whilst politics is littered with think tanks and organisations to achieve ends and solve problems, real or imagined, the fact-checkers argue with circular logic, part-truths and facts of convenience that there is always no evidence of a plan to do anything ever. It is merely just an ad hoc, knee-jerk reaction to whatever the latest catastrophe affecting everyone that we must be forever fearful of, that no one ever saw coming, but strangely always a solution was created only the week before to fit the bill perfectly, of which there can be no further debate or questioning, and to which we must comply or be mocked or punished into submission. How does that feel? Did you know that there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, laptop, or mobile device, or download an app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Searching for the facts.
I just don't think they're being honest with
today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Today I'm joined by historian, blog poster, brilliant analyst, Greg Mabry, and we are going to discuss the unbelievable happenings that are coming out of the United States. And really, it's an exercise to compare notes that if we are the ones that are losing our minds, or in fact, we can dig our heels in and point out the bleeding obvious. Greg Mabry, welcome back to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends.
Jason Q, thank you and for having me back again. Greatly appreciated and, look forward to our discussion.
Isn't there it beggars belief, doesn't it? If we just go back and look at what we've spoken about in the last couple of weeks, no one would have thought that we'd be here today talking about the goings-on coming out of Florida, where no one would have expected that the FBI would have launched a massive raid with Trump out of town on his home looking for documents related somehow to January 6th, which is the indications that are coming out of Democrats who are tweeting like crazy today and telling us all that, goodness me, there better be some concrete evidence there or we're going to have egg on our face. Even Andrew Yang, the man who came out and said that we need to get rid of all cars and only have a fleet of battery-operated electric cars for people to share and to book as a way forward. And he's come out and said, gosh, we better get this one right, because if we don't, we're in big, big trouble. What's your first thoughts on a president being raided, an ex-president being raided, and can it be seen as anything but political at this point?
Absolutely not. I'll come back to your question. Just I'd like to just, first of all, your introduction, Jason. Listened to that on every word. That was your introduction that you wrote, I take it?
Yes, I did.
I was very impressed that it was very relevant for me, particularly when you were talking about the conspiracy theory and how that kind of dynamic and people's attitude towards conspiracy theories has changed. I've watched that changed quite a bit over the years. About 6 years ago, I actually wrote several articles on the whole notion of conspiracy theory and how that came about as a what you would call a pejorative, where, you know, the whole phrase conspiracy theory was turned into a way of sort of defending official narratives and all of that sort of thing, which, as you kind of hinted at, really came about round about the Kennedy, or just after the Warren Commission into JFK's assassination. And that was the way that the deep state, principally the CIA, were able to sort of defend not just the JFK narrative that came out of the Warren Commission, but it was a way of the deep state and all of the players within the deep state being able to defend any narrative, not only that was doing the rounds then, but any narrative going forward. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, the whole conspiracy theory construct has been possibly one of the most successful psyops ever in our contemporary political narrative. And it still remains that. So your introduction for me was very relevant and resonated big time. And congratulations on that, Jason. I'm actually thinking of retooling those articles that I wrote a few years ago and bring them up to date a little bit in light of not just what's happening at the moment, but just in light of what's happened, particularly in the last 2.5 years with COVID and what's happening in the Ukraine and all of that sort of thing. But look, getting back to answering your question and focusing on the story at the moment, I agree with you. The in American politics, of course, expect the unexpected. And I don't think there were too many people who would have expected the jackboots, the FBI and various folks like that to be knocking down or, you know, knocking on Donald Trump's private residence and, you know, sending in dozens, I think there was upwards of 100 people that they had there that raided Trump's residence and took away a whole range of different documents. Who knows what they took away? I guess we probably will find out in due course what was taken away, particularly if it can be used in some respects against Trump. But look, honestly, I was just stunned, like most people. I just and not much these days actually stuns me or amazes me. But I agree that I was listening to Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and a few other people like that talking about it in the last 24 hours. And look, this is a very clear indication that the deep state fear MAGA. They fear what Trump is doing or is trying to do. They fear the influence that he has. And I say that as somebody who's never really been a huge fan of the Trump man, but as a good friend of mine who is much more of a supporter of Trump than I have been, he said, mate, look, at the end of the day, what else or who else has America got at the moment? He's the only one that really stands up and stands between the deep state and the WEF and the Great Reset and all of these sorts of things. And what most Americans, and I would say not just Americans, but most people around the world are looking for, and they're looking to fight back against the deep state. They're looking to fight back against the World Economic Forum, Great Reset, the New World Order thing. And Trump is, you know, whether he is legitimately a symbol, whether he is legitimately fighting against that, that for me, the jury's a little bit out there. Trump, at the end of the day, still remains a symbol of resistance towards that. And that's what they fear most, in my view. So, yeah, look, what's happened is just stunning. It's absolutely amazing. And, who would have thunk it, as they say?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I like the way that you made reference back to the origins of the term conspiracy theory, which was born out of that CIA attempt to get everyone to focus on the lone gunman theory of Oswald taking out JFK back in the day, which was clearly disproven that it was impossible through the Jim Garrison. And we saw that dramatized in the film JFK, 1991, which ironically was for me my moment as a 19-year-old kid, really, who was always impressed by JFK. Was something that, he died before I was born. My mother would tell me stories about him, and I saw old video of him talking about going to the moon, and it was the greatest leap forward in all human history, and he was only about 43 when he was elected to the presidency. He was, you know, it was the beginning of Camelot, Jackie O, and, of course, his magnificent son, John Jr., who... As a non-gay man, I still say was the best looking man of all time, and he was always meant to be the next, you know, the president of the United States. Yes. And so it was the day when America lost its innocence. And for mine, I never quite understood why we weren't more upset about it. And so when Oliver Stone made that film, it was a huge thing for me. It really, I just started university and I was studying politics, and I couldn't quite understand why it was all sort of forgotten. And I realized that we were living, even at that stage, in this weird duopoly, these two different worlds where we just had to accept something like that and just get on with it. It never, ever sat right with me. And so this was, of course, the beginning. And then when we started doing a lot of research in the last 5 or 6 years, we started to see horrible connections that were quite alarming. And some of these connections were the George W. Bush, who became the head of the CIA in 1977, yes. And in 1981 was the vice president in that moment. And, of course, he denied that he was ever part of the CIA, and yet he was the head of the CIA in 1977. And yet there were photographs that were taken that were clearly George W. Bush in Dallas on the day of the assassination. And there were interviews with Bush asking him where he was when JFK was assassinated, and he said he didn't remember. And for mine, that is just a bridge too far when the head of the CIA can come out and just make up a story like that. I mean, everyone knew where they were the day that JFK was assassinated, just as everyone remembers where they were when the Twin Towers fell on September 11th. 2001. So there's a whole lot more. We're going to take a quick break, Greg, and when we come back, I'm going to lead out with a quote that Kevin McCarthy, GOP leader, came out directly at Attorney General Merrick Garland, and this is really where it stands now. We are in a kind of a war, and hopefully it will not be a civil war, but it certainly is one on the political battlefield, and stranger things have happened in politics, and goodness me, this is where it's going to open up a huge, huge sinkhole here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Trish Wood.
I'm telling you, there is something going on Twitter. They're going into election season. The Democrats can't win on any possible thing they're doing. They're just losing. And what happens with the Democrats in the States, because all of the big tech companies are affiliated and siding with them, going into an election season, they are asking for help with censorship from the big tech companies. And we finally have proof of that. We always thought it was true. It was alluded to a fair bit by Jen Psaki. And now we find from a lawsuit that was just resolved in one way or another that a treasure trove of emails obtained by America First Legal tells a far more alarming story than what we ever even thought was going on. The 286-page stack of correspondence reveals a cozy and daily working relationship between people in a position of control between Twitter, Facebook, Google, and the Alphabet power dynamic in Washington, the CDC, the NIH, and also the World Health Organization.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left
is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. I'm here with Greg Mabry, and today's discussion is all about the goings-on that happened at Mar-a-Lago in Florida with the raiding of former President Trump's home and into his safe. Kevin McCarthy, GOP leader, tweeted, "Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. I've seen enough. Department of Justice has reached an intolerable state of weaponized politicization. When Republicans take back the House, we will conduct immediate oversight of this department, follow the facts, and leave no stone unturned. Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar." Them's fighting words, Greg.
They definitely are. And, there's no question that the Democrats and their allies, wherever they might be found, or their acolytes or apparatchiks, call them whatever you like, they're running scared. There's no question.
Yes.
About it. I mean, you just look at the optics of the raid on Trump's mansion. You just cannot come away from that and not conclude that they are truly running scared. You've also got two, again mentioned earlier on in one of those excerpts, there's been enormous pressure placed on, not just the legacy media, the traditional media, but also social media. And I would say that pressure is also coming from within and without. In other words, the people who actually work for the legacy media and the social media, there's a lot of pressure coming from within, who would appear that most people within those spheres in the media are, probably mostly Democrat supporters, from what I can gather. So, there's this enormous pressure coming from all quarters, because they know they're on a hiding to nothing in 90 days' time when the midterms come up. And, what are they going to do? They can either double down. It's too late for them now to sort of back off and start, acting and behaving, a bunch of reasonable people. I don't see that's certainly not going to happen. And even if they actually tried, it's too late now. There's only 90 days out from the election. And I would say the rot has most definitely set in, Rick. There's no question about that, they're even talking now about, you had the former New York City Police Commissioner suggesting that things are getting that desperate, there may be an attempt to assassinate Trump. Now, that is quite extraordinary kind of speculation to be engaging in. But from what I can gather, this former New York Police Commissioner, he's not one for putting out conspiracy theories. He's not one for being particularly alarmist. Just to hear that talk coming from anybody that's, an otherwise reasonable person, and, it's just quite extraordinary. I mean, when you think about it, the former Japanese Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, assassinated in a country which isn't necessarily known for political assassinations. Mm-hmm. So, if that can happen in Japan, and he, in his own way, he resisted certain aspects of the Great Reset and the New World Order. And, whether that was a lone gunman again, or whether that was a real planned conspiracy to assassinate him, we probably won't know about that for a while. So it's quite plausible, and this is my point here, that, given what's happening in America at the moment, and given the stakes involved, particularly the stakes for the Democrats, that anything can happen, and you know, maybe we need to expect the unexpected. But certainly, Steve Bannon was encouraging. He didn't use the same words, but he was certainly encouraging Donald Trump to make sure he's got some heavy-duty homeboys hanging around him. You know, if he's out and about. And I would suggest that, you know, definitely Trump is not one for. I'll give him this. He's not one for sort of, you know, withdrawing. He's no shrinking violet. He's going to be out there between now and those midterm elections, and there's going to be plenty of opportunities for somebody who might want to off him to do that. So, you know, I mean, it's really scary to think about this. But given what's going down, and particularly what happened in the last couple of days, and as the deep staters have been have said in the past, you know, they have 101 different ways to take you out and take you down. And they've demonstrated that in the past, that they can and will, you know, take people out. And, you know, Kennedy certainly was not the first person to succumb to that, to those kinds of machinations. So, you know, it's pretty scary time, really, you know. But at the end of the day, if Trump survives and gets through, and the Democrats get demolished in the midterms, well, you know, that's going to be a good thing. I think, you know, I think that's really, we need to see that kind of a shakeup happening.
Yeah, absolutely, we do, and it's truly extraordinary times. Whichever way you want to look at it, there is so much more we can talk about, and we will. But right now, we're going to pause for news headlines on TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a quick check of the day's headlines. China says it has no plans to pull its military out of the Taiwan Strait and has vowed to continue its operations around the island. Firefighters in Cuba have gained the upper hand on a colossal fire that's ripped through the Caribbean island's largest oil port. And it's been revealed grain ships leaving Ukraine are going everywhere but the countries that are most at risk of starvation, despite Kyiv declaring a deal to resume exports would help them.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. I think that Donald Trump, along with JFK and possibly Ronald Reagan, are maybe the only three presidents in the last 50 years that were not related to that spy agency of that country, such is the resistance that three men received. Of course, we know that Reagan was shot just 69 days into his first term by John Hinckley Jr. What many people don't know is that the evening before that, his vice president, George H.W. Bush, had dinner with John Hinckley Jr.'s brother. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. This is the same George H.W. Bush who Michael Moore reported in his film Fahrenheit 9/11 that of the morning of 9/11, the same Bush was having breakfast with the Bin Laden family. Goodness me. And of course, we're raiding Trump's home and not the Bushes, but this is what's going on. Ben Shapiro of the Daily Wire, I think, is probably producing the leading journalism at the moment on this fiasco with the FBI's raid. And he's commenting that there needs to be something very, very serious in these allegations or concrete evidence of a serious crime. Otherwise, the FBI is really going to have a major problem, as will the Department of Justice. He calls this banana republic type of stuff. Trump had allegedly brought boxes of documents to Mar-a-Lago after leaving office, and those were returned after many attempts to have this returned to them. So it wasn't the National Archives that they were particularly after. However, Shapiro talks about the fact that Bill Clinton brought half the White House with him when he left office. He was never raided, and it can't be that. The President of the United States has a battle with the National Archive over material. That just can't be the situation. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be something extra. What could it be? And then so he's looking at other possibilities. What could they be looking for? And then we've got the same problem because there's been evidence of Hillary with the emails, no charges. Biden with, of course, Hunter Biden's laptop implicating Biden himself, and yet we're not looking at that either. Now, Shapiro also noted, and this is a very important situation, that Kash Patel, a former high-ranking Trump appointee, had previously claimed that he had declassified documents before leaving the White House, as the president can, and the proper markings simply had not been adjusted. Shapiro observed, if that is what this boils down to, some sort of miscommunication in which the FBI goes after the former president of the United States for a raid on his home because there was some miscommunication about the identification of documents, there's going to be hell to pay. There really will. And the point here is, Greg, that in that situation that the FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton in the lead up to the 2016 election, Comey came out in around about June and had this big long-winded thing. And he said, even though there was the C marking on the emails in 21 email chains from 9 separate emails and classified information, we're not worried about the intent. Ironically, the statute did not require intent, and Comey just brushed over that. And of course, Hillary was off to run for president. So if they're doing this to get Trump to not to run for president, then the precedent's already been set by Comey. I don't understand why it's so obvious, and yet there is one rule for them and one rule for everyone else. What are your thoughts?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's particularly... you know, relevant trope is, you know, one rule for us, one rule for those who don't play ball. You know, if you're part of the deep state and you're part of the, you're supporting the preferred narrative, the narrative du jour, then they're going to leave you alone. And I mean, Hillary was expected to win in lieu of Trump. Mm. And of course, when Trump won, that really set a cat amongst the pigeons, and they went all out, including with Obama, which, you know, now they colluded to, you know, basically undermine the Trump presidency. And they did a pretty effective job of it. And whether Trump actually won the election in 2020, I don't know. I suspect that the election was rigged. I you know, my if you were to ask me, you know, was it rigged? I'd say absolutely. They've been rigging elections, local, state, and federal elections in the US for many, many years. The only thing that might change would be the process become a little bit more sort of hands off in the sense that it's more you know, it's more done more digitally, it's done more mechanically, it's done more, you know, electronically. But the thing is that, you know, election corruption is, you know, like, you know, it's very much a part of the system. And so they would have expected Hillary Clinton to win. They did expect Hillary Clinton to win. And that, as I said, really put a cat amongst the pigeons. And for that, from that point on, you know, Trump's presidency was always going to be marked by, well, let's just say controversy. It was always going to be problematic. I don't think anybody expected it was going to get that problematic with things like Russiagate, for example, which was the probably the most prevailing and prevalent issue throughout the Trump presidency that not only undermined Trump's presidency itself, but it also it undermined and reflected badly on America's whole political system. And, you know, it's a real stain on the country's record, not only a stain in the way that Americans would actually look at their system and, you know, whether they supported Trump or not, but to see how the actual political dialogue and the political discourse went throughout the Trump presidency, and to see it being undermined in such an obvious way, you know, would have been very disconcerting for a lot of patriotic Americans, whether they voted for Trump or not. And now, of course, they got Biden in. Biden, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, I mean, and I'm echoing the same sort of sentiments that some of my friends have said, look, who would you rather have in office, Biden or Trump? Hey, look, I'll vote for Biden. If I was voting, I'd be voting for Trump any day over Biden. I mean, Look, at the end of the day, they're worried. They know that Trump has huge support. You know, with the midterms coming up, they are really fearful that they are going to get decimated. And I think possibly not only will that be a good thing for that'll be a real wake-up call for those Democrats who aren't that sort of hard and fast in terms of their support of the Democrats. I think it's going to be a wake-up call for the whole political system in America. And I think what we're going to see, Jason, I think that we will see Trump announce his candidacy for the presidency, for the next presidential election. I think that's going to come sooner rather than later. Steve Bannon is urging him to come out and declare his candidacy for the presidency. And even such an announcement like that, particularly in wake of what's happened in Florida just recently, that's really going to sort of shake things up even more so. How the actual raid pans out, that's going to remain to be seen, you know, what happens there in terms of, you know, what they find and, you know, what actually comes out in the media about what they've found. And not only that, the justification for the raid, you know, are we going to see some kind of a justification for it? What was it all about? And I don't think we've heard enough at this stage about, you know, what was the actual motivation behind it.
Yes, and it's a big deal too because of what's going to come up next and whether, of course, now there have been some unconfirmed reports, I should say, that Trump, first of all, doesn't use the internet. What he does do is he has printouts and he reads from documents, and these documents that they took apparently were not catalogued at Mar-a-Lago but taken away. So the chain of evidence there is perhaps broken. Whether that means something's going to find its way in or not, we will have to follow, of course, and that's just conjecture. But it's the point that that all of this is very, very sloppy. The other side of this story in terms of how this all came about, that the sealed search warrant was signed by a magistrate judge for the Southern District of Florida called Bruce Reinhart. Now, Bruce Reinhart is a woke judge. He has put Facebook posts up that were in support of John Lewis at the time that President Trump criticized Lewis, who was going after him for saying that his district, he needed to concentrate on his district that had never had much done in typical Trump language. But the big story behind Reinhart, of course, was that before he was promoted to being a magistrate judge in 2018, he was representing none other than convicted sex offender and pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein, yes.
And so the plot thickens. And what's amazing about all of this is that the researchers knew all of this well in advance. The researchers had already explored the Epstein flight logs, and that all got confirmed later on, and the Maxwell case came out. And one's wondering why the FBI haven't found a single client of Epstein or Maxwell. And perhaps this is why, when it's so connected. And one wonders, of course, how an Epstein defense lawyer becomes a magistrate in Florida. Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because it's all about the favors, and this is the point of the deep state. So I note that on the other side, Trump wasted no time after all of this, and clearly this must have been planned, because on Trump's social yesterday, he released his brand new campaign video, which affectionately is dubbed "The Best Is Yet to Come." So it seems that this will mobilize his support base more than ever, and therefore another reason why it looks like it's going to backfire. So when you've got people on Congress 2-year election cycles, no wonder they're nervous, because their careers are in jeopardy. And if it is to be a landslide, and who knows how they're going to get this one through and perhaps not manipulate the election this time, and why they feel like they are is another story. Because it's one thing if all the polls are saying Biden's at 33% to 38% support and Democrat support's down, if they're managing to get up and scrape in and get another term in office, how it is that they can justify it at this point is a whole other story. And you've only got to watch that movie 2000 Mules to realize just how obvious it was. And if you trace that even further back, it was Mark Zuckerberg who donated some $400 million to pay for those drop boxes to be set up all around the United States that just so happened to take all of those ballots, those, pardon me, mail-in ballots. And as Australians, it's very difficult for us because if you want to have a ballot that you post in, you have to apply for it individually. It has to be posted to you. You have to fill out a form. You have to sign it, put it in a ballot, and then it goes into an envelope and they get separate, et cetera. It's a big deal. Whereas over there, an unsolicited mail-in ballot was just found in letterboxes, and they showed you how people just went around and picked up unsolicited mail and then just took them to centres. They tracked them through their phone metadata and proved who collected them, when they were dumped, and the whole story continued from there. It's an extraordinary situation that, of course, the FBI should be out there investigating all of this. They're not interested. It's not a story for us. But somehow they've managed to find something that Trump may have done that forces dozens of FBI agents to get out there and to raid his home. So if we circle back to the beginning of the program, Greg, it seems to be all about the idea that this is to stop Trump from running. And this is the same story that it was Eric Trump who tweeted that this is exactly what it really is about. He said this is just more political persecution of Donald J. Trump. It was meant to sway my dad from running in 2024. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take the run up to the news with more analysis of the raid on President Trump's home in Florida. You're listening to TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a shocking abuse of its substantial police power, FBI agents last night raided Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach estate and primary residence of President Donald J. Trump, looking for 15 boxes of documents that the president had brought with him from the White House in January 2021. These documents are not anything new. They've been the subject of negotiations between the Trump team and the DOJ for a year and a half now. So why was the warrant executed yesterday? Indeed, why was the warrant executed at all? It turns out that Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray were briefed before the raid was conducted. This has Americans of all political stripes outraged. If they can do it to a former president, they can do it to us. Maybe that's what the 87,000 new IRS agents are for. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, Veterans Strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
For the news and talk you can't hear anywhere else.
It gives you some awareness of what's really going on.
Where things are at, even around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program, a wonderful hour with a chat with Greg Mabry about analysing or discussing the events and what it all means in relation to the raid yesterday on President Trump's home in Florida. Now, in the break there, Greg, you probably heard the 87,000 IRS agents that suddenly are required in the United States, and the implication, therefore, that there will be many, many audits on people to yet further intimidate. And it's just another one of these shocking overreaching ideas or practices, let's say, of the Democrats to intimidate and to frighten further the people into more compliance. How dare they ever think that they can have freedom anymore when we control you? The thing that I hate most about this idea of control is just how inept and incompetent those in charge are and how insulting to our intelligence it is, and yet people still feel like that they have to be underlings in this world and just follow along with authority no matter how hopeless authority is. This is what infuriates me the most. It's also what motivated me the most to become politically a participant and aware in the very beginning. And I go back to when I became a fan of Trump, when I realized that he was really the best man for the job, was way back in 2017, just 9 days before the election. I was still a lefty at that point, not knowing where I was going next. But it was the Al Smith charity dinner speech that he gave where he and Hillary were in attendance, and it's the famous Catholic Church roast that they do just before the election. And Trump stood up and in a 15-minute speech, which I regarded, yes, it was a roast, I still regard it as one of the greatest political speeches of all time. What it showed me was a man that was so brave to stand up in front of the entire establishment and call Hillary out for her crimes with the promise that he would do something about it. And that point I said, that's our guy. But I never believed that he could win. And it was the only election I never watched the results come through. I just could not stand the idea that Hillary would get up. And of course, Trump went on to win at $3.50 versus Hillary at $1.02, and that's where it was. And going back further than that, it was in 2008 when all of a sudden Obama came onto the scene, and suddenly both Obama and Clinton disappeared off the radar in the primaries for 2 days, and it came out. And at that point, Obama was the preferred nominee, and of course they went with him, and that was the beginning of the political revolution in the modern era, that they were to get this young state senator of only one term and thrust him into the presidency, and he was to look like the great, as Mark Latham calls him, the Black Jesus, and the great revolutionary, the great hope. And then when Obama got in, and very shortly on in his term, he came out and he said that he preferred incrementalism. That's when I realized that the CIA had once again got their stooge in place. There's so much history in all of this, Greg, and I find it impossible to forget any of it. How did you sort of see all of this history panning? Is it playing out in a way that looks like theatre, or do you think this is just ad hoc, just things just happening in the moment?
To paraphrase Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he once said, you know, if something happens in politics, it didn't happen by accident, it happened by design. And there are many others that have said something similar along those lines, including plenty of previous presidents. Abraham Lincoln was another one. Nothing happens by accident. It happens by design. And you talk about theatre. I mean, yesterday was, I guess, theatre, or the day before. That was theatre in Florida. And it's all about, you know, creating a certain, range of optics that will be perceived by the electorate a certain way. And, you know, the idea is to try and, first of all, it's a big distraction from a whole lot of other problems and issues that the Democrats are facing at the moment, not least of which is in Ukraine, and not least of which is all of the issues related to the adverse events from COVID and the vaccinations and what have you. So you've got these huge distractions, but of course, you know, getting back to the substance of, or the reasons for the raid, which is really, you know, is to sideline Trump, is to try and besmirch his reputation, to take the wind out of the MAGA sails, as it were, and to, you know, to try and, I guess, I suppose you could call it a gambit in damage control. I mean, Steve Bannon talked about the raid on Trump's house as being somewhere between a fishing expedition or a planning exercise. The fishing expedition phrase is probably fairly obvious, but a planning exercise, did they plant something or put something in there? Did they use the raid as a pretext for saying, hey, look what we found here in Trump's archives that he had at Mar-a-Lago? So there's all sorts of speculation about, you know, what were these guys after? What were they chasing? What did they hope to find, or what are they going to find in there that maybe wasn't there to begin with? And at the end of the day, what is the actual game plan of it all? And I don't think you need to be a genius to work out the game plan here. Really, is partly as a distraction from all of the other issues that the administration is facing, but it's also to prevent and preempt any further gains that the Republicans might get in the midterms, and certainly to longer term basis. What they want to do, obviously, as we've already spoken about, is to undermine any attempt by Trump to run a successful campaign in 2024. They do not want that. That's their biggest fear. Their short-term fear is the midterms, And the longer term fear is Trump making a comeback in 2024. And that's really what it's all about. They'll do anything. They've already shown, you know, with Russiagate particularly, that they are prepared and willing to do anything. And again, as a few people have already suggested, Steve Bannon being one of them, is that may not stop short of arranging Donald Trump's assassination. So, as horrifying and as shocking as that might be to some people, it's not me that's saying it. I'm just paraphrasing what other people are saying. Steve Bannon's come straight out. Basically, I would not put it past these people to attempt something like this. You know, they are running scared. So, you know, it really is going to be very fascinating, very interesting to see how this all plays out, Jason. It really is.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's it is frightening when you consider the ramifications. Look, Trump did have a Secret Service when he was president. He had a separate private organization as well, which was probably insurance against any rogue elements in the Secret Service. So at least we know that he's certainly well aware and well funded, and this won't be an issue for him to have security. But this is, of course, just one part of it. Now, interestingly, when you say what could they possibly plant, a planting expedition, what could they possibly plant in Trump's belongings that they couldn't find in Hillary's or Biden's or even Obama's? I mean, there were reports back in 2017 in the mainstream, I think it was NBC or ABC News, that reported that they had discovered special access programs intelligence on Hillary's private email server kept in her home in Chappaqua, New York. And Special Access Programs Intelligence is classified, a high level of classified, and perhaps indicates that it would have been state secrets, given that she was the former Secretary of State. Now, what was she doing with this? And you're only meant to have it on a need-to-know basis. It's truly frightening that the levels of corruption that were involved and ignored. So if it is simple just as a control of power, and one wonders again, if you can't be good in power, like these guys are virtually incompetent, then what is the point of them holding these jobs? So clearly it's not about that. It's certainly not serving the country for any reason. This is a whole lot bigger, and this idea of a deep state, and Trump again has come out and said if we get back in, we'll be taking the deep state on head on. He's not pulling any punches anymore. He's calling them out for what they are. It seems to me that he's always a step ahead of what's going on. He's truly well-funded, and he always seems to be foxing with them because he's totally underestimated. And the other thing I love about Trump is he always looks like he's going to lose just before he wins. I liken him a bit to Hulk Hogan in the wrestling when he gets knocked out and he starts doing the big heavy breathing. He gets up and he does the big routine and knocks out and wins the wrestle in 30 seconds. It's the same game. And ironically, of course, Trump was good mates with Vince McMahon of the WWE. So well aware of all the theatre. Greg, we've only got 3 minutes left, as usual, time flies. What are your thoughts coming up? Do you think the Democrats have got a chance coming up in this at all, or do you think the general public is just going to throw these guys to the wolves and vote the Republicans back?
Yeah, look, short answer to that, I think they're in for a hiding to nothing. There's no question about that. Well, let me just kind of clarify that a bit. But if I'm going to put any money on it, I'm going to put money on the Democrats losing big in November. There is, in my view, it's hard to see it's hard to see anything coming up that's going to change that. I see things getting worse. I see them getting worse in terms of Ukraine, which we've already mentioned. I see the situation becoming even worse as more revelations come out about the way that the COVID pandemic was declared and managed from there on, and particularly as we keep getting, on a daily basis, we keep getting increasing reports about adverse events of the vaccines. We've got the situation in the Taiwan Straits with China at the moment. That's just naming three of the big factors at the moment that I see undermining the current administration's credibility completely, not just the administration's credibility, the credibility of the whole Democratic Party machine. And I just feel, to the extent that I can see it and feel it, a palpable sense of frustration and exasperation on the part of most Americans with their government generally, and particularly, obviously, with the reigning Democrats. And even just when you think about, you know, Biden is the president. I mean, he has been now noted by many people as being possibly the worst president ever. I'm not going to argue with that. And that's a big call to make because there's been some terrible presidents.
But George W. Bush would have to have been the worst I ever saw, and Biden's eclipsed that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't, you know, Bush, we won't go into it now. Bush probably did have some redeeming features when you think back on it. But look, I can't think of anything that Biden has brought to the table that in any way, shape, or form would, you know, attract people to voting for him a second time. I simply just cannot see that, no matter how diehard they might be as Democratic voters. It's so I think there's going to be a bloodbath in November in America, and I think it's probably going to be the best thing that ever happens. For not just for Americans, I think it's going to have ramifications also for us here in Australia, and I think in a lot of Western countries. There's going to be some serious messages that will come out of that if, in fact, the Democrats do go down, which, as I said, I'm pretty sure they will.
Greg Mabry, thank you very much. Greg Mabry on Substack is to find his latest works. I look forward to your retooling of the conspiracy story. Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. News next. More in the next hour.